From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Yes, TGIF, folks. Yes, it is Friday, January 31st, the last day of the month. Man, did January fly by, and you know what? I am excited. I'm sure many of you are excited out there. Even if you don't like sports, you gotta be excited because this Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday. I can't wait. Denver Broncos going at it against the Seattle Seahawks. Oh, I can't wait for it, folks. I cannot wait for it. And I tell you what, it's also a day where Vegas booms. Yes, Las Vegas booms, folks, because something I really started to dig into this week when it came to the Super Bowl was the whole prop bet situation they have every single year in the Super Bowl. If you don't know what prop bets are, they're kind of, funny wagers. That take place throughout the entire course of that day at the Super Bowl. Some of them are pretty hilarious. Let's see here. Who will the Super Bowl MVP mention in his first speech? You have options of 3-1 odds that he'll mention God, 11-2 odds are the fans, the opposing team, family, his coach. That's pretty funny stuff. What color will the Gatorade that or liquid, whatever liquid it is, be that is dumped on the head coach of the winning Super Bowl team be? So they have options here from red to yellow to green. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Will No'Shawn Moreno cry during the singing of the national anthem? I mean, I could go on and on and on. I mean, it's fun stuff, you know. It would definitely, if you're going, whatever Super Bowl party you're going to this Sunday, I think that'd be a kind of a fun little thing to do. I think we're going to be doing that with a few of my friends this Sunday. Never done it before, but we will definitely be trying it out this Sunday. And also, you know what? To spice up our current sports pick'ems for the month. Now, Alex is kind of opposed to this because Alex and I talked before the show because I believe Alex may have the lead. Alex, do you have the lead right now?
I am not opposed to this, Al. I just don't think it should be 5 points per Super Bowl prop bet.
Okay, and I negotiated with you, and I said, let's make it 2 points.
Fine.
2 points. Fair. If you get the prop bet right, you get 2 points. It'll make it interesting. Now, I know we always do the picks month by month, and the Super Bowl is technically happening in February. But, hey, let's add it to January's count and see what happens, make it interesting. Right, Matt? Let's do that
so
and see what happens.
The typical Al Martin move, when you're in last, you try and skew how we play it out. I'm just saying. I don't think this is the first time it's happened. I don't know if it'll be the last either.
It probably won't be the last. But, hey, it's going to be fun. You guys will be glued in to not only the game, but also the silly things that happen.
We'll be texting all Super Bowl.
Oh, yes. It's going to be a fun time. So, yeah, let's spice it up a little bit. You know, another thing that I didn't realize, guys, I was watching the Colbert Report yesterday. And an interesting aspect to this whole Super Bowl fiasco, it happens every single year, is concerning the name Super Bowl and the NFL's rights to it. I did not know. Now, if you turn on your TV and look at local television, there are so many commercials out there, whether it be deals on cars or deals at supermarkets. They don't use the term Super Bowl. They use the big game. And the Colbert Report yesterday kind of poked fun at that, and because the NFL has rights to the Super Bowl name, and if you do say Super Bowl, you have to have some kind of affiliation to the NFL legally. So pay attention closely to that, because there are many Super Bowl ads that will be taking place this Super Bowl weekend that won't be using the word Super Bowl, because the NFL, of course, I mean, they run everything. They're the mothership. If you do use the word Super Bowl, they may be digging into your pocket. So pay attention to that, too. The big game is the term that's been used. I mean, because everybody knows what the big game is. But that was interesting. That was talked about yesterday as well. So, but I can't wait for it, guys. Again, we're going to be diving into the Super Bowl later on. If you want to call in and give us your prediction on the Super Bowl, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Who do you think is going to pull it out and come out with the W? It's going to be a great game. You got the number one offense in the NFL with the Denver Broncos going against the number one defense in the Seattle Seahawks. And you know what? Also, when you talk about Super Bowl, again, I mentioned those ads, so those commercials. We have a special guest that will be joining us at the bottom of the hour by the name of Robert Colt, who is an MSU instructor of advertising. Now, Robert Colt and a few of his colleagues get together every single year, and they sit down and they rate on a scale from 1 to 5, what the best Super Bowl commercials are. So Robert will be talking with us at the bottom of the hour about that. I'm definitely interested to see the criteria on how they judge those commercials. Guys, last year, the Tide Joe Montana commercial came out with a W. They rated that as the best Super Bowl commercial last year. So interesting pick. I'm definitely going to pick his brain and see what the criteria is and what they look for in an effective Super Bowl commercial, so you do not want to miss that. In the meantime, guys, again, a lot to get to on the show. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners on the final day of January 31st, 2014. All right, sophomore Caris LeVert posted his first career double-double with 14 points and 11 rebounds as the University of Michigan men's basketball team defeated Purdue 75-66 inside Chrysler Center for its 10th. Yes, 10 in a row for the Michigan Wolverines. Sophomore Nick Stauskas led the Wolverines in scoring with 16 points on 5 of 10 shooting, while freshman Derek Walton Jr., he added 14 points, hitting 6 of his 7 field goal attempts in a game that Michigan led by as many as 17. Jordan Morgan also was U of M's final double-digit scorer with 11 points. He also tallied 6 rebounds. All right, tomorrow, in the MSU and Georgetown game, you'll notice MSU looking pretty fly. Michigan State is going to be going back to a retro look for Saturday's game against Georgetown. Nike unveiled retro uniforms for a handful of college basketball teams today, including Kentucky, Ohio State, Oregon, Syracuse, and North Carolina. Now, the Spartan uniforms, which the team will wear against the Hoyas at 3 p.m. tomorrow at Madison Square Garden, look much like a kind of a bronze, goldish type version of the 1979 retro unis they wore last weekend. Now they have the if you look at last weekend's game against Michigan, they had the script letter State across the chest. The Spartan logo is on the side of the shorts as well. They'll just be another color, again a bronze type of feel for that one. Nike said, quote, the 2014 Nike Hyper Elite Dominance uniform, that's a long name, Nike Hyper Elite Dominance uniform, celebrates the past and present of 7 outstanding programs. The distinct jersey and short combination will be worn in select upcoming games, so you'll see MSU sporting those tomorrow. The Michigan State women's basketball team held off Wisconsin last night for a 71-67 victory at the Breslin Center. The Spartans, who are 14-7, remain alone in second place in the Big Ten at 6-2 at the midway point of conference play. 5 Spartans scored in double digits in the balanced offensive attack. Senior Annalise Pickrell, she led the Spartans in points with 14, had 8 rebounds, 4 assists. Becca Mills, 13 points, 6 for 11 for shooting. Tori Jankowska and Ariel Powers each had 12 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. And Kiana Johnson, 11 points, and she tied Pickrell with 4 assists off the bench. Now, Michigan State remains home to host Purdue on Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday at 1:30 p.m. Current Sports will be there for that one. The MSU men's hockey team will look to get back on track this weekend against number 1 Minnesota. After dropping 2 games to Michigan last week, the Spartans will look to challenge the red-hot Golden Gophers, who are 9-0-3 in their last 12 games. The puck drops tonight at Mariucci Arena, 9 p.m. on Big Ten Network, while Saturday's game is slated for an 8 p.m. Puck drop time on Fox Sports Detroit. Team Sweden is now feeling the effects of the Red Wings' injury woes. Now, forward Johan Franzen was removed from the Olympic roster after struggling with concussion-like symptoms. Now, the Red Wings placed Franzen on short-term injury reserve Tuesday after a lone game back against the Florida Panthers. Now, the Mule had missed the previous 16 contests. Among the candidates to replace him in Sochi is teammate Gustav Nyquist, along with Washington's Marcus Jokinen and Nashville's Patrick Hornqvist. So we'll see how that plays out. NBA All-Star reserves, they were announced as well. The NBA announced reserves for the 2014 All-Star Game in New Orleans. The group chosen by the coaches includes Portland's LaMarcus Aldridge, Damian Lillard, Houston's Dwight Howard and James Harden, Clippers guard Chris Paul, Dallas forward Dirk Nowitzki, and Spurs guard Tony Parker. For the Eastern Conference, Indiana big man Roy Hibbert is joined by Miami's Chris Bosh, Washington's John Wall, Toronto's DeMar DeRozan, Brooklyn's Joe Johnson, Chicago's Joakim Noah, and Atlanta's Paul Millsap. All-Star Game tips on February 16th at 8 p.m. And tonight, Kevin Durant visits the Barclays Center to take on the Nets, but he might be at Barclays permanently soon. Possibly. As the NBA free agency bonanza begins following the season, Durant is reportedly targeted by the Nets for the summer of 2016. They have the expiring contract of Williams and Durant. It seems to be the target for what he has done in Oklahoma City, just on a complete just tear right now. So the Nets want Durant. We'll see how that pans out in the coming years. And the NFL released Thursday that concussions are down 13% from the 2012-2013 season. Data was collected from team doctors during preseason and regular season practices and games. There is also a 23% decrease in helmet-to-helmet concussions. And, of course, remind you all, I don't need to remind you all this, but hey, why not? The Super Bowl, Denver Broncos, Seattle Seahawks, Sunday at 6:30 p.m. on Fox, MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. All eyes will be on that one. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, call in 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Share what's on your noggin. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. Now, before we get into our first guest, guys, Matt and Alex, let's dive into that Michigan and Purdue game really quickly. Caris LeVert, he had a great game yesterday. Things opened up for him as Purdue keyed in really on stopping Nick Stauskas, who still put up 16 points. However, LeVert had 14. Michigan was very, very sloppy in the first half. But this is the thing, I think you can make this argument for them. I think they right now are the hottest shooting team in all of college basketball. Even though they had a ton of turnovers, had 16 turnovers throughout the entire game, they still shot unbelievably well. 50% in the first half, and then in the second half, they turned it up and shot 68% for the game. Unbelievable. Now, Purdue, as expected, they did a solid job on the offensive boards. They lead the Big Ten in offensive board production. 16-5 advantage over Michigan last night, but they, again, struggled to score. That's been their story this entire season. Michigan shooting, again, through the roof. They have shot at least 45% in every Big Ten game so far. It was their fifth time over 50% and second time they've topped 60%. That is unbelievable, guys. And if they continue that shooting, I mean, and this is the thing, though. When you talk about shooting, I mean, my dad used to tell me all the time, you live by the jump shot, you die by the jump shot. I mean, there are going to be a few games. They can't continue to shoot this hot. And it's going to be interesting to see how they handle those games when they just don't have it from that mid-range and three-point range. I mean, but this streak they've been on, a 10-straight form, you got to give them their props, because I tell you what, I had no fathom. I did not think that they would be this good at this point in the season. So,
yeah, what really astonished me was LeVert led both teams in rebounds. For his career double-double, this is a guy who's been somewhat inconsistent, I'd argue, for most of the year. And with Stauskas and LeVert, this is a lethal combination. So that's what really was the highlight for me, was just LeVert leading in rebounds. I was like, what? When I saw that stat, yeah. I was like, come on, man. This guy's the real deal, I think.
Especially against a Purdue team who prides themselves on rebounds. I mean, if you look at the defensive round, the offensive rebounding category, again, they owned Michigan on offensive rebounds, but defensively it was a different story, and Caris LeVert had a lot to do with that, Matt.
Yeah, and I think those offensive rebounding stats are obviously going to be skewed, because when you shoot 68%, there's not going to be a lot of offensive rebounds to get. When you're not missing shots, there's no rebounds. And exactly. Purdue, they are a great offensive rebounding team, but that's because they can't put the ball in the basket.
Right.
And, you know, so those numbers, while it looks good for Purdue that, yeah, they can hang their hat on offensive rebounding, there's a bit of an asterisk there, because they're just not making shots.
Right, right.
And Michigan is making just about everything.
Right, exactly, yeah. Exactly. And it's going to be interesting. Like I said, when Michigan, I mean, as I can't see, they're shooting so hot right now. Again, I think they're the hottest shooting team in the nation. But, I mean, guys, to be honest with you, they can't keep this up. I mean, they cannot keep this up. I mean, it's going to, like I said, there's going to be a few games here. We've seen teams that rely on the jump shot left and right, and you have those games where you're just not, you just can't put it in the basket. Now, a guy who I really think is going to be a key factor and who continues to be a key factor for this team is Derek Walton Jr. He had a great game last night. He did a great job of managing the game. I mean, we saw it before the first half ended. He had that transition layup where he goes the full length of the court and hits a beautiful layup. I mean, this kid, I mean, he has ice water in his veins right now. He's playing so tough, and he can do a lot of things with the basketball.
Yeah, how would you compare him to past Michigan point guards or Trey Burke even? How do you compare? I mean, I know it's early, but I'm just wondering, do you think this guy has some pro potential in him, Derek Walton?
I do. I definitely do. I mean, the thing that stands out to me, really, I mean, it's just demeanor when he's out in the court. I mean, he plays like he's a senior. He does not look for a shot first, which is a true slate of a point guard. I mean, he goes out there, he looks for Stauskas, he looks for LeVert, he looks for Glenn Robinson. He tries to get everyone involved, and then if he sees some things here and there that aren't going well, if Stauskas seems to be off, like last night, they were definitely keying in on Nick Stauskas. They were not letting him drain, just hit threes left and right. Once that happened, Derek Walton said, okay, well, let me start feeding LeVert a little bit. And he picks and chooses his battles, and I think that's what makes him such a smart player. I think he will be a good player and would definitely be effective in the NBA.
I don't know, though, because I mean, he's got a little bit smaller of a frame. I look at past Michigan point guards like a Daniel Horton, and even there are times where Manny Harris and Deion Harris both would bring the ball off the floor. I don't know, and even with Trey Burke, I don't know how this guy will compare, because he doesn't have a bigger frame like most of those other guards had. I'd argue that I don't think he's going to be in the NBA because, one, I haven't seen much of his playmaking ability besides dishing the ball. But, I mean, he could drive, but what's he like with contact? I don't think we've seen that yet.
Oh, we saw it last night. We definitely saw it last night.
I mean, I just saw the highlights.
I watched the whole game. I saw Derek Walton. I mean, he will go to the paint on you. I mean, he took some kind of, I mean, if you look at that play when he, like, again, I go, because that was a highlight for me as far as Derek Walton's play goes. I mean, you know, caught Purdue sleeping a little bit. I mean, then they wake up at mid court, and two guys come over him. He splits him. He goes straight to the basket, gets bumped, takes the contact, hits the shot. They go to halftime. I mean, he's a guy who can really – I mean, and you got to realize, he's still young.
Right.
That, you know, and to be honest, in the NBA, as far as guards go, I mean, we've seen guards – I mean, just look at Brandon Jennings. Brandon Jennings isn't a big guard. I mean, he's not a muscular guard. I don't think you need – size definitely helps as a point guard. We've seen Chauncey Billups and Chris Paul, those, you know, guys who have meat on them, that definitely helps in the NBA. But I don't think you need to have a lot of bulk and size for a point guard in the NBA. I mean, we've seen scrawny guys make a living in the NBA. I mean, Steve Nash is another guy. Steve Nash wasn't big when he came in the league. Jason Kidd wasn't big when he came in the league. I mean, I don't think you should harp on size too much. I think, you know, if he continues to play consistently as his Michigan career goes on, I think he could definitely be something special in the NBA. But again, you never know, because he's still young,
and I don't think he's going to be the Trey Burke level.
Oh, not at all.
Trey Burke came in, he was a finished product the minute he hit the court. I mean, he averaged 15 points a game his freshman year, you know, and he upped that his sophomore. He was an NBA player his first time out on the court in a Michigan uniform. As far as comparisons, I would almost compare Walton more to a young Kalen Lucas. I mean, he's quick. He doesn't have the range yet, you know, and that's one of the big things with Burke, too. Mm. Like, if you're going to be that small, you better have legit three-point range, because you have to keep guys honest, because they're just going to let you drive otherwise. Right. You know, they're going to sag off of you. You have to have legit three-point range. I don't know if I've seen enough of that yet, but, I mean, he's a player. I mean, there's no denying it. The kid can play, and, I mean, he makes big plays when they matter. He didn't, you know, shrink under the pressure at the Breslin Center last weekend.
All those
free
throws he hit, I mean, that was so impressive.
Those were key free throws down the stretch, he was, you know, ice water in his veins. So he's definitely got some, you know, you see flashes of it.
Right now, I think mentally he has it.
Yeah, I think he might be further along mentally than he is physically.
Right.
But that's a good place to be when you're a freshman.
Without a doubt, because, I mean, the mental game, especially when you're coming in, you know, playing, you're used to playing high school ball and then trying to make that transition where into college basketball, it's a totally different game. He's definitely holding his own. He's been very, very impressive. So, but, yeah, Michigan guys, let's be honest here. Are you guys surprised at the streak that Michigan is on right now?
I am surprised.
I'm baffled.
Yeah.
Because looking at this team, the beginning of the season, I'm sitting there like, they don't play defense. They look lazy at times. They're not consistent. They weren't consistent with their shooting at the beginning of the season. And now looking what they're being able to do, I mean, it's truly remarkable.
I'm not surprised because I call Michigan beating Michigan State. I'm not surprised that they're winning. I'm more surprised about their shooting. This is a team that was, at the beginning of the year, struggling to find any backboard. This is a team that shooting wise, when you compare to typical Bayline teams, this was a below average Bayline team.
But yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. I mean, what else can they do? I mean, all they do is shoot. I mean, I said that looking at the Michigan State game. If Michigan didn't, if they weren't shooting as good as they are right now, I think that game at the Breslin Center would have been a blowout.
Oh yeah,
period.
I mean,
because that's all they
60%
do.
60% from 3-point land.
Exactly.
You're going to win the game.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You know, when you're just unconscious like that. Honestly, the biggest surprise for me, I guess, is how much better they've looked since McGarry has gone out.
Exactly.
And I think it's because they streamlined what they want to do on offense, and they're just purely focused on getting good shots for their perimeter players. The guys inside, like Morgan and Horford, they're just there to clean things up. They're not trying to run their offense through the post anymore, and it's opened things up for them tremendously. So I think it's kind of that, you know, the Ewing theory where you lose a good player and the team gets better.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's happening with Mitch McGarry.
I think so.
That's a good point. I like that.
I definitely think that because, I mean, like you said, they're not running their offense through a Horford or a Morgan. I mean, they're not dishing it in. They're not their first option. Their first option is Nick Stauskas. If he's not open, you know, you go to Derek Walton.
I'd say LeVert even, maybe. Before.
Then you try
LeVert
Stauskas
now.
Again.
Stauskas
then,
again. You know, go back to Stauskas. Yeah. And then, you know, I mean, that's and they're shooting unbelievable right now. I mean, you saw Caris LeVert. His shot looked really, really pure last night. But again, I don't think they can keep it up. It's definitely surprising. I mean, looking at these W's on the chart right now, unbelievable stuff. They have Indiana next on Sunday. That's a 1 p.m. game in Bloomington, Indiana. So definitely looking forward to that one. All right, well, let's hit the break. When we come back, we're going to really dive into the Super Bowl. Again, the Super Bowl this Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday. I'm sure many of you are amped for that one. We're going to talk a little bit of that. And give us your prediction. Call in at 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a sec. Yes, well, the Super Bowl is this Sunday. It will be on Fox this year. I believe it was on CBS last year. Joe Buck will be manning the helm with Troy Aikman throughout that game. I cannot wait for it. Super Bowl, I mean, is the biggest sporting event in the world, arguably. And I tell you what, let's dive into this game. Let's talk about the game right now, guys. Game preview of it. You got Denver's number one offense versus Seattle's number one defense. That's the story of the game. Guys, I tell you what, when you look at this game, something I would really be looking at when you talk about that offense and defense dynamic is the way that Peyton Manning deals, how he plays against the Seattle defense. Because the thing is, Peyton Manning he's an offensive genius when it comes to making checks at the line, changing things up based on what he sees. Something interesting about the Seattle defense is that Seattle's defense, they give you exactly what you see. They don't make a lot of adjustments at the line. They don't, they don't change up anything based on what they see offensively or against anyone that they play. They basically go to that line and say, "This is our defense. See if you can stop it." And it's been tremendously successful, throughout the entire season for Seattle. When you look at Peyton Manning, I mean, Peyton Manning is a guy who I've always said you cannot give Peyton Manning pre-snap information. Now, I've said that throughout this entire season, and this is exactly what Seattle's going to do against a Peyton Manning. They're going to show you what they're going to run, and they're going to challenge Peyton Manning to see if he can stop it. That, to me, is going to be such a key to this game because I could see it going both ways because Peyton Manning has not played a defense like Seattle's all season. But then again, Seattle hasn't played a quarterback like Peyton Manning. It's going to be very, very interesting. Now, Seattle, as far as their success goes, they have to. They are a run-first team. They have to get the beast, Marshawn Lynch, going. And I think going early to establish themselves in this game. We've seen Russell Wilson throughout these entire playoffs. He's been inconsistent and has not been great, let's be honest here. If Marshawn Lynch tears it up on the ground, if that offensive line for Seattle can open some things up, Seattle definitely has a great, great chance in this game. But then again, the Broncos have done a relatively good job against running back this entire playoffs. If you look at Ryan Matthews, San Diego, I mean, didn't have a big game. Broncos did a good job containing him. You look at LeGarrette Blount, you know, versus the Patriots. They did a good job containing him. It's going to be very, very interesting. What makes it so hard for me to try to pick in this one? Now, I did say, I think I went on record as saying that I'm choosing Seattle to win this. That was a few weeks ago. I think I'm going to go back on it now. I think Peyton Manning can pour this one out, guys. I don't know. I'm feeling Peyton Manning on this one. Go ahead.
Right. It started with the spread going to Seattle being the favorite. Then it switches to Denver like a day later. You start to wonder. I think the public is like, oh, it's Peyton Manning. I think people are kind of luring into the Peyton trend.
I think I have.
But you know what? The storyline for me real quickly is this, Al. All the focus is on Seattle's defense, how they mix up their coverages. You're dealing with Peyton Manning here. I mean, this is a guy who's dealt with a lot of pressure, has not had an offensive line at points, and has been able to get through it. I think the key is the Denver defense, because that's a key for me, who's had a lot of injuries during the year. They've tackled that, and remember former line Paris Lennon? He's tough in the middle now for the Broncos. He's the veteran making an impact now. I think the Denver defense is going to be the difference for me.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely see. Before we get to you, Matt, let's get to our first guest for today's Current Sports. He is a man who made quite the mark in Spartan hockey while he was at MSU. He arrived at MSU in the fall of 2009, went on to become a captain and become the recipient of numerous accomplishments throughout his playing career. Those accomplishments garnered so much attention that he became among the country's most sought-after free agents. He would go on to sign with the Boston Bruins, where he is now. Torrey Krug, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, guys. I'm doing great. How are you?
Thanks a lot for joining us today. Now, Torrey, you have been on quite the roller coaster since you left MSU. What has been the most memorable experience for you so far?
Oh, wow. There's a lot of memories to choose from. After I left Michigan State, first of all, I owe everything to Michigan State, my development and my hockey career so far. It would be nothing without them. So I owe everything to them. And then, a lot of great memories. Playing in my first NHL game, getting my first NHL point, scoring my first goal in the playoffs, and then competing in the Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, it's pretty hard to choose. If we would have won the Stanley Cup, I think that would have been a pretty obvious choice.
Yes, we will definitely be diving into that in just a sec. But, yeah, I got to ask you, Torrey, I mean, now that you've gone on, you're having a great pro career so far. What do you miss most about, being a Spartan and playing college hockey for Coach Tom Manassas?
There's a lot of things. Like I said before, I owe everything to that program. For me, I think the thing I miss most is, just being part of the community there. You go around the city, East Lansing, everyone's wearing green and white. There's football Saturdays where the whole city is shut down for the football game. And, you go to the hockey games, people are lined up outside Munn Arena. The basketball game's the same way. It's just an incredible community. And to be part of something like that makes you feel like you have a second family. And, it's true when they say you'll forever bleed green when you go there, because that's what I do even today.
Now, Torrey, did you ever think that you would have the kind of success that you are currently having at the professional level so fast?
Not so fast. if you see me play hockey, I'm a very confident person. I have this swagger about me, and that's what makes me successful. If I didn't have that, then I'd just be a smaller player out there, and I'd get pushed aside, and I wouldn't be special. So, that's how I make myself special. So, I've had to have confidence, and when I've gotten called up and gotten the opportunity to play, I've played with confidence, and my teammates, my coaching staff has had confidence in me. So that's what's really been important, and I didn't think it would come so fast, but when I got the opportunity, I just ran with it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking with Torrey Krug of the Boston Bruins, of course, a former Spartan here at Michigan State. Now, Torrey, you got a chance to play in the Stanley Cup Finals last year, as you just alluded to, as the Boston Bruins took on the Chicago Blackhawks. Your quick impact last year ranks among one of the most impressive in professional hockey history. Now, you being the former Spartan All-American in 2012, CCHA Player of the Year, played in just one regular season game and was not active in the first round against the Toronto Maple Leafs, but you were called into action for the second second round against the New York Rangers due to injuries suffered along the Boston blue line. Now, first of all, Torrey, what went through your head when you got the call up? Because you were actually, I believe, playing in the minors with the Providence Bruins, right?
Yeah, I was actually getting ready to hop on the bus for a six-hour drive to Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania to play in our playoffs. And I got the call that I was going to play with the big club, the Boston Bruins, against the Rangers. And so, first of all, I was relieved I didn't have to make that six-hour bus trip. And then,
yeah, I bet, that, right?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, after that, it was just it was an amazing feeling. You know, I was going to be playing. I was going to be competing in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And, you know, I got on the phone with all my friends and my family first and then friends afterward. Just the support and the love and how excited everyone was for me was unbelievable. And then, you know, I get to the rink and I have a nice chat with the coach and, you know, he tells me to just play my game. You know, there's a reason I was there. Obviously, injuries happened, but there's a reason I was the next guy called up. It was because I was playing well in Providence and you know, I have certain things in my game that your team. And, you know, that was just very important for me to get going.
Torrey, how nervous were you at that moment? How'd you stay calm and just kind of live in the moment?
You know what? You know, it was nice first couple of NHL games in the regular season, and then you get to the playoffs and everything's a little bit faster, and you don't have time to be nervous. If you are nervous, you're going to be pushed to the side, and you're not going to play well, and then you're going to see limited ice time. So for me, it was about coming in, reading the lineup, stepping in, and being confident. If you are nervous, there's no room for that. Stanley Cup playoffs, there's no excuses, and that's what I tried to do.
Yeah, Torrey, you went on to become the first rookie defenseman ever to score goals in four of his first five playoff games. Yeah, that's definitely efficient. Now, Torrey, how cool was it playing against another Spartan hockey player in Duncan Keith, who's with the Blackhawks, on the pinnacle level of American hockey? And what does that say about the MSU hockey program?
It was great playing against Duncan Keith. You know, he's a player that I look to, you know, as a guy that I can model myself after. He's a left-handed defenseman who skates very well, and that's something I like to bring to the table. And, you know, to play on that level, two Spartans facing off, it was pretty neat. You know, guaranteed the Spartan's going to win the Stanley Cup, and another Spartan's going to get his name on the Cup, so that's cool. At the same time, you know, it speaks about the program and the history and how they develop players at Michigan State, and that everywhere you go around the league, you know, there's going to be a Spartan there. I'm facing off tomorrow against Jeff Petrie, who was my defense partner and one of my best friends my freshman year at Michigan State. And, you know, everywhere you look, you know, there's a lot of have Spartans on there. It's pretty cool.
Man, that's got to be so cool. I mean, you're going against your best friend. I mean, is it like no holds bar out there on the ice? I mean, how do you put those, you know, those personal ties to the side and just go at it?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. There was the first time I played Edmonton, there was a fight, and I think Jeff and I were standing next to each other. We looked at each other like, nah, it's not going to happen. So, it's a lot of fun. You know, we have jobs to do as professionals. We have to bring something to the table every single night, and we have to compete, and we make sure we do that. You know, it's a lot of fun competing against your best friends, and sometimes you go out of your way to make sure you give them a little extra shot.
Gotta love that. Torrey, now you guys currently sit in the second place in the Eastern Conference, right behind Pittsburgh. How has the season been going so far?
It's been good. It's been ups and downs. You know, we were sitting in first place in the conference for a while, and then Pittsburgh went on a bit of a hot streak when we kind of took a little bit of a downfall, but you know, that's just what you expect from a season. There's going to be ups and downs. It's just a matter of how you respond and how quickly you get back up from those down moments. So, you know, for us, we're coming up to the Olympic break. We have, I think, five games left now, and we just want to make sure we're playing good and we're playing solid hockey and we're happy about where we are, because we have a lot of guys going to the Olympics, and we know those guys play important roles on our teams, and they're going to play a lot of minutes over the Olympics, so we have to make sure that, you know, we're happy with how we're playing. And then when they get back, we can keep rolling.
Now, I'm sure one of your goals has to be to get to that Olympic level, right, Torrey?
Yeah, one day.
One day.
You want to compete for your country, I think. As a kid, you look at your dreams, and the first thing that comes to mind is the Stanley Cup. And then after that, obviously, it's a pretty big moment and very honorable to play for your country and wear the red, white, and blue. So I'm one of very few Americans on the Boston Bruins, and hopefully one day I have – you know, I'm lucky enough to be able to represent the Bruins on a national level.
Well, Tori, you're certainly on the right track. Now, the Spartan hockey program, Tori, is currently 8-12-3, 2-4-2 in the Big Ten, struggling a bit right now, actually coming off back-to-back losses to rival Michigan. Now, they take on the number one team in the nation tonight. What is your assessment of the team so far? What's the source of those struggles? Have you been keeping close ties with them?
Yeah, I do. You know, I'm still friends with you know, a few of the players, and Greg Wolf, the captain of the Spartans, is one of my best friends today, and you know, I still keep in contact with Coach Anastas, and you know, I've seen a few of their games, and you know, it's a tough time for them right now. You know, they're working as hard as they can. I know that. I've seen you know, from the beginning of the season to where they are today is a completely different team. You know, they're playing with the puck more. They have a lot more confidence, and they're going in the right direction now. It's just about using that confidence to their advantage and making sure that they're capitalizing on chances when they can. You know, it's tough when you're losing games, but you have to make sure you come to the rink every single day willing to get better. And I think, you know, the coaching staff has that mental approach to the game, and it's just about the players to respond to it.
Tori, when you do talk to the players who are currently on the team and, you know, sort of in a way mentor them, I mean, what do you tell them?
Well, you know, it's frustrating when you lose. You know, when I was coming into the National Hockey League, I was a free agent, and, you know, I was able to pick what team I wanted to play for. And I said to myself, you know, it could be very easy to pick a team to go to that's losing a lot because I'll be in the lineup quicker and I'll be able to make a quicker impact. But one of the things that was important to me was winning, because winning is more fun. And I think the guys that are at Michigan State right now, obviously they want to be winning, but it's tough times when they're not. And the key is to remain and be focused and make sure you go to the rink and happy, because, you know, you're doing the thing that you love. You're playing hockey. It's not like, you know, you're going to the rink and or you're not going to the rink and you're studying every day. You know, you have to go to the rink. You're having fun. You're playing the sport that you love. And that's what it's about. It's, you know, when you're frustrated, you got to make sure you simplify things and you have fun playing the game.
Yes, the love of the game, baby, the love of the game. Tori, and speaking of love, how is the married life treating you? I know you and your college sweetheart, Melanie, got married this past summer, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I met Melanie at Michigan State, and, you know, we got married this summer, and it's been going great so far. She absolutely loves Boston. You know, I'm very lucky. It's a different world for us because, you know, playing in the NHL, you're on the road a little bit more this past month. You know, we had our trip to California that was a week long, and we had another trip that was 5 days long. So there's, you know, half of the month right there. I'm on the road and she's back home by herself. So it's been tough at times, you know. We got to make sure that she's comfortable and she's happy in Boston. And,
right.
And so far, so well.
A lot of Skype, I assume, right? And FaceTime?
Yeah, a lot of time on the phone.
There you go. And, you know, Tori, I got to ask you, before I let you go, man, you know, how is the overall city of Boston doing? Of course, you know, you guys are coming off the whole the Boston bombing tragedy that occurred not too long ago. I mean, how is the city recovering so far?
You know, it's an absolutely amazing city. Just the people here, it's a blue-collar mentality. And you know, you have a tragic event like the Boston bombing, and it really just brings everyone together, I think. You know, one place that people look to when there is such an event is sports to relieve that stress. And, you know, we've been very fortunate to have great teams. You know, we went to the finals last year with the Boston Bruins, and, you know, the Red Sox won the World Series this year, and the Patriots are great every year. So, it, you know, it temporarily eases the pain of such events. And it's just such an amazing community here, and it's a beautiful city. And I would suggest, if you haven't been to Boston, you should, and definitely come to a Boston Bruin game because it's a lot of fun.
There you go. I'm sure it is. Really quick, Tori, who do you got in the Super Bowl, Denver or Seattle?
Oh, man. You know, I'm a big fan of Peyton. I know a lot of New England fans don't want to hear me say that. But at the same time, I play for a team that has great defense, and defense wins championships. So I think it's a toss-up, but I'm going to go with I think Denver's going to win.
You're going with Peyton Manning. All right, yeah. Tori. There you have it. Tori Krug, former MSU hockey player, now Boston Bruin. Tori, thanks for joining me today.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right. Well, let's hit the second break. When we come back, well, we're going to dive into the Super Bowl a little bit more. You don't want to miss it. Also, if you want to call in and give your prediction on the Super Bowl, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. We'll be right back. welcome back to Current Sports. Just finished talking with Boston Bruin Torrey Krug, of course, a former MSU hockey player who had one great career while he was here. He's having a ton of success on the next level. He just chose the Denver Broncos to win the Super Bowl. I think I'm going with Denver as well. Alex, you're going with...
I'm going with Denver.
You're going with Denver. Okay. I was singing the Seattle song not too long ago. But, Matt, we didn't get to your preview. Who are you going with, man? Why?
I'm taking the Seahawks, and I called this back in the championship games. I said whoever came out of the NFC was going to be my Super Bowl pick. I'm going to stick to that. I think they had a much tougher set of games. I mean, the Chargers and the Patriots were not the Patriots that we know. I mean, especially when they lose to Lieb halfway through the game with the Welker hit. They weren't the same team, and Denver took advantage of that, sure. I just think the Seahawks beating the 49ers, those are the two best teams in the playoffs, I feel. Mm-hmm. I think they are more battle-tested. I think the key to beating Peyton Manning is knocking him on his butt. Keep him off, you know, you have to move him off the spot. You have to make him uncomfortable. And I think Seattle has the personnel on defense to do that. And it goes beyond just Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas in the defensive backfield. You know, Bruce Irvin, Michael Bennett, Brandon Mebane, former Lion Cliff Averill. If they can just make Peyton that much less comfortable, he just has to be off a little bit. You can change the game.
He's not Peyton. Certainly is.
But they are better equipped than anyone Denver has played to do that.
You think Russell Wilson to have a big game? Because the thing about Russell,
I think he needs to have a huge game.
Yeah, I think with Russ, you have to keep him inside the pocket. That's going to be the key for me. If Denver can contain that run game, which is a tough order. When you talk about Marshawn Lynch, who has been outstanding, if they can contain that run game and make Russell Wilson throw the ball, that, I think, is going to be the key. Russell Wilson, of course, he loves Percy Harvin. I think if they do make him throw the ball, he's going to look at Percy a lot in that game. It'll be interesting to see how that matchup goes. But if you contain Russell and keep him in the pocket, what makes Russell dangerous when he is on is once he's so elusive. Once he gets that run game going and he can mix it up with the pass and throw, then it gets dangerous and you're treading water. You know what I mean?
And Denver doesn't have Von Miller, who would be the guy who would wrangle him, you know, if he can get outside, which I think he'll be able to. I think he can make plays. You know, he creates plays when they're not there. And nobody the Broncos have played in the playoffs has a quarterback like Russell Wilson. Philip Rivers and Tom Brady aren't going to hurt you with their legs, Tom Brady's scramble touchdown notwithstanding. I just feel like the cold weather, you know, we haven't even mentioned that. It's not going to be that cold, but it's not going to be nice.
The forecast,
you know,
and the forecast looks a high of 49, a low of 20 something right now.
Right.
So
it's not exactly T-shirt weather.
No.
I think that favors Seattle.
It's going to be a good one.
It's going to be a great game. It's going to be close.
Yeah.
I just think the Seahawks are too tough.
There we go. Denver, and Seattle. We'll see what happens. All right. And, you know, Super Bowl Sunday is, you know, just like every single year, eyes won't just be on the game. No, many of us, including myself, will be watching what I like to call the show within the game. That's right, the commercials. Yes, every year companies shell out millions upon millions of dollars for opportunities to promote their products on television's biggest day. And there is a pretty cool event that Michigan State University's Department of Advertising and Public Relations holds during every Super Bowl. I'd like to welcome an MSU instructor of advertising who will be tracking and analyzing the high-profile Super Bowl ads this weekend. Robert Colt, welcome to the show. How you doing, Robert?
I am great. Thank you, Al. It's great to be with you.
Thanks so much for joining me today. Now, Robert, first of all, tell me about the event. What do you and your colleagues do while the Super Bowl commercials are running?
Well, you know, it was probably about 20 years ago that the ads really started to have a defining moment, and the Super Bowl expanded across all demographic groups in our society to become a really unique American event. So you get young people, old people, not just the traditional football fans who watch. So Mean Joe Green and the classic Coke guys did an ad that people talked about at the water cooler the next day. And at Michigan State University, we got a lot of questions in the advertising public relations department. What's the best ad? Well, we decided about 16 years ago to get together and watch the ads together and then actually do some research and score them. And we have rated the ads for that many years, and this will be our 17th year.
Wow.
And it's amazing that the industry of advertising, which this is, you know, this is like Oscar night in the movie industry for advertising. The Super Bowl is a huge event, and the best ads of the year will be in this game. So we rate them, and it actually gets extensive media coverage, and we kind of have fun doing the research.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a fun time. And now, what do you all look for in an effective commercial?
Well, a really good commercial, it has to have great production value, really sell a product. You can't forget to sell something, although a lot of advertisers forget to promote their product enough. You have to have some brand strategy. You probably want to target an audience, even though this is, a huge audience across all demographics. You've got to make it memorable, creative, funny, great production. Otherwise, it's just not Super Bowl worthy. It's just another ad you would see any other time.
Right.
But you must have a tough time, Al, because you like the ads. When do you ever go to the bathroom?
I know, right? I'm glued. When the Super Bowl comes on, you know, I am glued, Robert, to the television. And I'm known for this. I'm telling people to shut up during when because a lot of my boys like to talk when the commercials come on. I'm like, no, man, I got to see this. It might be hilarious, you know. So yeah, definitely a tough job, Robert. Now, you know, I understand that you all last year's winner was the Tide detergent ad that featured a stain on a shirt that resembled former football great Joe Montana. I just want to play this really quick for you, Robert.
Yes! Oh! Dude, you got Montana on your jersey.
Joe Montana!
It is! It's a miracle stain!
I can see the miracle.
It's a miracle stain!
See the miracle.
Baby, I got a Montana miracle stain on my shirt.
There's been a lot of talk about a miracle stain.
And then I was holding my shit like this, and it dropped.
Is that real?
Yeah, it's real.
Crazy.
49ers!
The Miracle Montana stain is sweeping the nation.
People from all over the world are flocking to get a glimpse at what some 49ers fans are hoping could be a Super Bowl miracle.
I saw the stain!
All right.
Right here, $20.
Here we go. Stain on a stick. Montana man! Where's my 49ers jersey?
Oh, I washed it.
You washed it?
I had a stain on it. Go Ravens.
Joe, where'd you go?
Hilarious stuff. Now, again, that was rated last year's winner amongst you all. What made that ad stand out from the rest?
You know, that was just a great ad in which all of the stars in the universe aligned it with Montana being an idol of the 49ers and in a heated game with the Ravens. And, you know, you could not have played a better ad at the right time in any kind of Super Bowl. It just, I think it was effective across all of the creative marks. And certainly, it just shows you, Al, you can sell soap in a real sporting event, and that's what I think Tide did.
That is so creative. Now, you know, we talk about some of the better ads. Now, I got to ask you, Robert, what are some of the worst ads that you've seen?
Well, I think we can look to GoDaddy for consistently producing lousy ads. But but from and last year they had a very painful kiss ad that seemed to just go on forever between the supermodel and the geek. And
yeah,
oh,
I remember that. I remember that, yeah.
Oh, I just don't want to see that on TV. And if, for the industry, boy, if you just want a lot of garbage and explosions and quick cuts, all the movie trailers in the Super Bowl are really awful. So you can, whenever that comes on, that's your time, Al, to go to the bathroom if you need to.
There we go. I'll look out for that. I'll look out for that, Robert. Now, you know what? In today's advertising world, you talk about the kiss with the geek. That's kind of a nice segue to this because you hear the phrase, quote, sex sells so much. Do you believe that to be true or is that kind of a myth?
You know, sex does sell, but bad taste doesn't. Mm-hmm. So you really have to use sexy in a way that is attractive and funny and fun. And really for the Super Bowl, you know, if you're a Victoria's Secret and you're selling sex to guys for to buy some women's undergarments for Valentine's Day, you can do that, but that's a fourth quarter late game 2-minute warning ad after the kids have gone to bed,
right?
And you know, everybody's kind of cleaning up at the party. You really can't be too blatant about it. It has to be humorous, and you have to admit, Al, the best ads are usually the funniest ads in
right.
the Super Bowl. Thanks to the beer guys, which are kings. The automakers have done some great ads, and General Motors is racing back to the game this year after kind of trashing it as too expensive in previous years. So, you know, I look to the auto industry to lead. We look at the M&M ad a few years ago and Clint Eastwood ad a
yeah.
few years ago. Chrysler did the Farmers ad for Dodge Truck, and Oprah actually narrated a Jeep ad. Those are all very emotional ads, too. And so as long as you touch some emotion, you don't have to be out there shouting at people like a car dealer to come and buy this car at a sale. You're creating some brand awareness.
I love that. Now, I got to ask you really quick, Robert, before I let you go. What is the average price for a Super Bowl ad, and what brands usually shell out the most money? Because as you just alluded to, it seems as though there are so many beer commercials that run throughout the Super Bowl.
Well, and Anheuser-Busch has cut out about a minute, but they're paying $4 million for each 30 seconds in the game this year. That's a record high price.
Wow.
And the great ads are usually in pop and candy and beer. You know, this is the second largest food holiday of the year next to Thanksgiving. So if you have something to eat, you've got to be in the game.
Right, right. You know, and you know what, Robert? I got to ask you, what determines the price of an ad? Because that's a lot of moolah. That is a lot of moolah, man.
It's all market. And you know, the great thing is the advertisers are lining up right now to get next year's ads. So
wow.
it's just
already.
It's, yeah. Who is there with the most money? The Super Bowl, I mean, you may think it's all about the game, and I'll give you the sports side of the game. But for advertisers who want to be around the biggest audience of the year, as many as 150 million people in America and worldwide, boy, you want to be in the right place, in the right game, at the right time. And so the advertisers are lining up and paying record high prices to do it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I cannot wait to sit down. I'll be thinking about you when the commercials are on, Robert. I'm definitely going to be trying to guess what will be ranked number one. I can't wait to see that come out. And really quick, before I let you go, Robert, that's custom here throughout the entire week. Give me a Super Bowl prediction. Who's going to win, Broncos or Seahawks?
I would say Broncos, but just know that I know nothing about good football because I'm a Lions fan.
Oh, man, you got to be hurting. Me too. We're everybody in Michigan is hurting if you're a Lions fan. Oh, my goodness. Well, there you have it. Thanks so much, Robert, for joining me. Again, MSU Instructor of Advertising, Robert Colt. Have a great one and have a good time rating those commercials this Sunday.
Thank you, Al.
All right, take care. All right, well, guys, man, I cannot wait for the commercial. I'm pretty sure there are some pretty creative ones, guys. I don't know if you saw the Arnold Schwarzenegger preview for Bud Light. I'm looking forward to that one just because, you know, it's definitely been hyped up. So, guys, we have about, 5 minutes left. Really quickly, you know, again, at the top of the hour, we decided to throw in this whole prop bet proposal. I think who's leading right now, Matt and Pickhams?
Alex is leading.
Alex is leading by
5 points over me. You are 1 point behind me.
And I'm in last place.
Yep.
Wow. Well, this might change the game a little bit. guys, well, I guess we'll make these prop bets, whatever we get through on the show, 2 points. Is that fair?
Fair.
Sure.
Agree.
2 points. Here we go. Okay, guys. Who will the Super Bowl MVP mention in his first speech?
Okay, I'm going to go with, I think he's gonna thank the owner first.
Matt?
It really depends on who you think's going to win. I'm going to say teammates first.
I'm going to go with team two. That's what I was going to go with, too. I'm going to go with team two. All right. What color will the Gatorade be, or liquid, whatever it is, that is dumped on the head coach?
Red. Red for sure, red.
You're going with red, Matt?
Blue.
Yellow. Going with yellow. Aaron, you want to get on this too? Aaron? Oh, he's getting ready.
What color?
What color?
I'm going to go yellow.
He's going to go yellow. Okay. Well, no Sean Moreno cry during the singing of the national anthem.
This is what I wanted to talk about. Does crying
If his tears, water.
Does it mean watery eyes without tears going down his face?
Yeah, if he gets watery eyes, that's, I count that
okay,
as crying.
I say yes. Yes.
I say no.
Sure. Yes.
Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I love these. All right. Let's see here. Will any member of the Red Hot Chili Peppers be shirtless during his performance?
I say no.
You yes. say no? I say yes.
Absolutely.
I say yes, too. Aaron?
Yeah, he'll be shirtless and pantless.
And pantless, too. Oh, my goodness. All right, what will Bruno Mars, who's the halftime performer, the premier halftime performer, be wearing on his head at the start of the halftime performance? I'm going to say he has no head.
I'm going to say he'll wear a beige hat with a feather.
That's pretty specific.
It's either a fedora or a knit cap. I'm gonna say it goes with the fedora.
Aaron,
I'm gonna say a fedora, but it's gonna be customized to show off the Super Bowl in some way. There's gonna be some sort of marketing behind
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I agree.
Gotcha.
I'll change mine to fedora.
You're changing yours to fedora. Yeah. Now. Okay. Let's see. We'll do one more. Let me see here. There's some good ones here, and these are actual. You can actually go to Vegas and bet on this stuff really quickly. If Renee Fleming, who's singing the national anthem, wears gloves, if she does wear gloves, what color would the gloves be? I'm going to go with brown, brown.
I'll go with white.
I think they're going to be white as well.
Aaron?
Nope, they're going to be black.
They're going to be black. All right, well, we'll see how that pans out. Ooh. And hopefully my luck turns in this whole thing. And goodness, I cannot. Good. All right, and we have some more picks, right, Matt?
We do. MSU Georgetown this Saturday.
MSU by 7.
I'm going to say Georgetown by 5.
I'm going to say MSU by 5.
Okay, what else?
Ohio State at Wisconsin.
I think Ohio State gets out of this jam they're in.
Yeah, I agree. Ohio State for me, too.
I'm going with Ohio State in that one.
To take Wisconsin at home.
Hey, Wisconsin is at home. I just think I can't see Ohio State losing one more game. I mean, goodness gracious.
And then do we want to do a score prediction for the Super Bowl, or are we just
yes.
going to pick the teams?
No, we'll do score prediction, Alex.
Not a spread, an actual score?
Actual score.
Sure. All right. I'm going to take the Broncos 24-14.
Okay. I'm going with Broncos 27-24.
I'm going to take the Seahawks 23-17.
Aaron?
Broncos 27-21.
Okay. All right. Matt will definitely be pulling for those Seahawks, man. I had them. I did have them, but I switched my pick. I've kind of fed into the whole Peyton Manning fiasco. I think we'll see. We'll see what happens. It's going to be a great time. All right. Thanks so much to all of you for tuning in today's Current Sports. Thanks to Tory Krug of the Boston Bruins for joining me. Also, Robert Colt, instructor in the MSU field of advertising. He was great. You can listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKR East Lansing. And WKR FM HD3 East Lansing, as always, take care. Have one fantastic Super Bowl weekend. And be easy, people.